Well, it is good to be here today. I've been blessed already with different things that were shared. I was thinking of this song that we just sang there in the last verse there. It says, to him that overcomes the foe, white raiments shall be given. And of course, that white raiment pure and a holy life, represents a pure and a holy life, white raiment. I think that is all our desire, to have those white raiments there. And again, I was just blessed being here and hearing the opening there. What Dallas shared there was wonderful, great, and let's be that light of the world, the light to the world. Dallas shared there about what Jesus said, he that follows me shall have light. Jesus is that light. And if we follow him, we will have that light. And we are to shine that light to the world that they can see Jesus through us. So what I want to talk about this morning is spiritual growth. Talk about spiritual growth and see what we can find in the scripture. Just something to be an encouragement to us and to follow after that and allow God to work in our life if that's needed. Allow God to have his way with us. I was thinking of our physical growth. You know, our a mother, when she has a baby, she wants to see that baby grow. And it grows from however small it is, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's they want to see a healthy grow, see it grow and do better. And in the same way, that's what God wants to see in us. He wants to see us grow and prosper and have a healthy growth. He wants us to be healthy. And I was thinking, you know, back when I was a little boy growing up, I didn't grow very fast. Not there for some time. When I was 14, when I got out of school, I weighed 98 pounds. That's just a small boy. But I could do a lot of things. You know, I like to be small. I could jump very high. I could height myself pretty easy. I could just do a lot of different things because of, I was kind of small and light. So I could do many different things. But after I was 14, that summer, I grew so fast you could probably just about see me grow, I think. I grew pretty fast for that summer. The next couple of years, I grew pretty fast. So that's what God wants to see in us, is to grow spiritually. He wants to be there to help us and guide us and direct us through life. And he is there for us if we allow him to help us. So, what is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is the process of a Christian becoming more like Christ through sanctification. And it could be different things, but I might not, I probably won't share everything on that. There'd be more on that, but it is a process of growing and becoming more like Christ. When a person accepts Jesus in his heart, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in them and begins applying the finished work of Christ as the new believer builds a relationship with God. It results in a new life that glorifies God, our Heavenly Father. It's like a mother and a father rejoices in their newborn baby. when they have a little baby, they rejoice. They're so glad to see that baby. And they, like I mentioned earlier, they like to see it grow and be healthy and get strong. In the same way, God likes to see us grow. If we give our, a person that gives his heart to him, he likes to see them grow and be healthy spiritually. And he rejoices. God rejoices in the people that give their heart to him. He rejoices in them to see them grow. And I'm just going to turn there to Luke 15. If you want to turn there, you can read with me. Luke 15. Gives us a little bit of an idea how God rejoices when we turn our hearts to him, when we give our hearts to him, and when we, in verse 1 through 7, I'm going to read verse 1 through 7 there. Just then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he findeth it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. In verse 10, it said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth. So God is looking, looking for sinners that want to repent. He is looking for them. He wants to bring them to him and help them. He wants to help those sinners. You know, there when we started in there in chapter 15, it says the publicans and the sinners were there to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured, and it says, that he, this man, receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, that's what God is looking for. He's looking for sinners that turn their heart to him, that want to be a part in his kingdom. He's looking for somebody that wants to give his heart to him and follow him. And when he finds those, he greatly rejoices in that. He rejoices in that, and he wants to help them. And those sheep, that one sheep that was lost, he puts it on his shoulder and brings it back. Each sheep is of high value to God, and it should be to us. If we see a sheep out there astray that needs help, then we should be willing to put aside what we need to and to go and help that sheep. God will greatly rejoice in that if we bring it to him. Are we willing to let God work in our life? Are we willing to let God take us back to the 99? To the 99 sheep there. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. It is not just a one-time thing. You get born again and now you have it all together. That's not what it is. It's a lifelong journey. And it's not about becoming perfect. But it's about becoming more like Christ every day. We don't get it all done in one day. We don't get it all done in one year. It takes time. As we go through life, God will help us. God will guide us and direct us through life. It's like growing in faith, love, patience, and understanding. The Bible offers us clear guidance and encouragement and instruction for this path. We can find everything we need right here in God's Word. If we can't find it there, then we can get a brother or somebody to help us, guide us through the Word, find it together. Whether you are new in faith or have walked with God for years, Scripture has the power to strengthen your spiritual foundation. We go to God's Word to find help, to get strength, to strengthen us, to encourage us. You can learn how to follow God by meditating on His Word. Meditating means spending time reading and thinking about what you have read, thinking about God. It means asking yourself how you should change so you're living as God wants you to. Knowing and meditating on God's Word are the first step towards applying it to your everyday life. If you want to follow God more closely, you should know what you must know what He says. In John 3, verse 3, 1 John 3, verse 3 says, "And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Hope in Christ motivates us to grow in purity and holiness. That hope in Christ, it gives us courage. It helps us to move on. It helps us to be encouraged and grow and allow God to help us. What does the Bible say about spiritual growth? We can grow in spiritual maturity by persevering in following God's plan through the trials and challenges of your life. And you want to turn to James 1. We're going to read most of the chapter there. If you want to turn there, it's James 1. And see what James talks about, has a lot to say about some of those things. It says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribe which are scattered abroad, greeting." And he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." How would we call that joy, you know, to be tempted with things, to fall into those things? And he says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness and the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So there we see this whole chapter. A lot of this chapter talks about, you know, trials and challenges in our life, and then to make it through that. And he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That gives us hope, you know, when we read God's word and it has a message in there like that. We don't have to give in to temptation. Jesus went through all those temptations before us, and he made a way for us that we can be tempted. But with that, we don't have to give in to sin. We can be tempted, and God is there to help us. He's there to give us the strength to work through those. When we face temptation, then we can go to God's word for our help, for our encouragement. And we can read in God's word where he tells us that he will be there for us and help us through those things. And in verse 12 said, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And if we love the Lord, we will allow him to guide us through those things, those areas, and he will give us victory over temptations. And at the end, it says, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Isn't that a wonderful thing, that we can put our trust in the Lord and knowing that he will be there for us, no matter what we might go through? God wants to be there for us and help us through those areas, temptations, and then at the end, when we remain faithful to him, it says, he shall receive the crown of life. Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The old life, be done with it. Be done with the old life, drunk with wine. That's not where we find help, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the new life. Being filled with the Spirit of God is the new life, and that's where God wants us. That's where He can help us. If we turn our lives over to Him, He will help us to be filled with the Spirit. Romans 6, verse 11 through 14. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Again, there is the old life. Put away with it. Go into the new life. He wants us to have that new life in Christ Jesus. To be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's telling us to not give ourselves, yield not ourselves to unrighteousness. As those... Again, he wants us to be as those that are alive unto him, unto God, dead unto sin. It's a change from the old life to the new life, and then growing in the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through life. Are you alive unto God? If you are, then you are not living in sin. Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Spiritual growth involves learning more about God. We all start somewhere when we became Christians, but we don't stay there. We continue to grow as God takes us as we go through life. If we love the Lord, then we continue to grow in Him, and we find Scriptures that will encourage us, that will help us to grow and prosper in the Lord. Psalms 1 is another good one to read. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, this is how you grow in the Lord, how you grow spiritually, is to open God's Word and read it and apply it to your life. Like not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. We know that that's a place that we don't want to be. We be with the ungodly, so why would we? We shouldn't want counsel from them. It says, nor standest in the way of sinners, nor sittest in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And if he does that, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. A person who meditates on God's word grows strong and steady. Just like a tree that is planted down close to the river, where he gets all the water that he needs. He does not... He gets all the water he needs, therefore he grows strong and steady. And in the same way, if we delight ourselves in God's word, and allow him to work in our life, we will grow strong and steady, I believe, if we allow God to work in our life, and if we give our life to him completely and let him be in control of our life. The more we delight in God's presence, the more fruitful we will be. On the other hand, the more we allow those who ridicule God and faith to affect our thoughts and attitudes, the more we will be cut off from the source of nourishment. The more we will become like them if we, you know, the more we listen to those people and the more we are around them, the more we will become like them, I believe. So let's look to the Lord. Let's not look to the ungodly for our counsel, for our to what we should do, but rather look to the Lord. We must engage and welcome unbelievers if we are to witness to them, but we must not adopt their sinful behavior. If you want God's joy, spend time with God's people, with those who love God's word and read God's word. Second Peter 3 verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." The verse calls us to keep growing not only in our knowledge of Jesus but also in grace. Spiritual growth is about deepening our relationship with Christ. The more we focus on Christ, the more we read in God's word about Christ, the more we will become like him. That's why we need God's word. We should read it every day. We should spend time in it, meditate on it, and ask God about our life. Ask God what we should change. Ask God what we should do. God wants us to do that. And I believe somebody that loves the Lord will do that. I'm going to read quite a number of verses out of the Bible. Now, you don't have to turn there because I'm just going to read them and explain a little bit there. Colossians 1 verse 10 says, "That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." True spiritual growth leads to a life that pleases God and bears good fruit. It's both inward and outward. It doesn't matter what you do with it does matter what you do with your time, and it doesn't matter what you wear, because what you do and what you wear is who you are. I could maybe change that a little bit there, what I just said. Maybe it don't altogether hold truth, but I realize that You can dress in a very modest way, and your heart might be far from that. Or you can maybe that would be like a wolf in sheep's clothes. You can be a wolf in sheep's clothes, and that saying might not completely hold true. But I think that for the most part, I think it's that way, because. Because if you're around someone a lot or work with them a lot, you will find out who they really are. You can dress yourself in sheep's clothes, but if you work with them long enough, you will find out who they really are. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is the one who grows us spiritually. What he starts, he promised to complete. He promised to complete what he starts, but he cannot do that work in us unless we are willing, unless we allow him to do it. So we must turn our hearts towards him. We must allow God to do that work in us, for us. If we are not willing, then that means we are telling God, no, we're not ready for that. We're not going to allow you to do that. Paul is describing the process of Christian growth and maturity that begins when we accept Jesus and continue until Christ's return. That is a process from the beginning of our life with Christ to until Christ's return. And we don't know when that return, we don't know when he's going to return. That's why we want to be ready, prepared for when he does return, because he might, we don't know, it might be tomorrow, it might be tonight, it might be the next hour. We don't know when Christ will return. So we want to be ready and prepared for that when he does return. Do you sometimes feel as if you never make progress in your spiritual life? When you are discouraged, when you feel incomplete, unfinished, or distressed by your shortcomings? There's sometimes things we do or we say or we make mistakes. We have shortcomings. And sometimes, you know, if we think about it, it makes us feel kind of bad about it. Well, there's forgiveness there. God forgives. Somebody that truly repents, God forgives. If we repent and turn our heart to him again. There is a scripture somewhere, if I can quote it, that says that to him, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, or something like that. So if we do sin, if we know it's sin and we just don't care about it, then it is sin, and it's unforgiven unless you ask God to forgive you. But if we just continually sin that way, then it does seem like there is, God might not be forgiving you if that's just something that continually comes on in your life and you don't have no control over it. Remember that God don't give up on you. He promised to finish the work he has begun. Don't let your present condition rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keep you from growing. Ephesians 4 verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Growing in Christ includes both truth and love, two essentials for maturity in faith. Love, or truth and love, are two important factors that we need in order to grow and mature spiritually. First Peter, chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Just like babies need milk to grow, new believers need the word to grow, need God's word to grow strong in their faith. Once we see our need for God's word and begin to find nourishment in Christ, our spiritual appetite will increase and we will start to mature. How strong is your desire for God's word? How strong is our desire to follow after God, to follow after righteousness and holiness? There must be a desire there for in order for us to grow and prosper, to grow and mature in our spiritual life. There is never a time, though, that you can say that you have achieved it now. You have everything you need in your spiritual life, because it's a continual thing that you must have. You know, it's not just now you finally have reached the end of it and that's all for you. There's way more there than what any one of us could ever accomplish here while we're here on earth, I believe. Now, once we get to heaven and we see more things, how it is, and some of the things we probably think that, well, we haven't even learned hardly anything yet, because there's so much more there, I believe. When we get there, I think we will find it that way. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Spiritual growth involves transformation, letting God reshape how we think and live, taking our own way of thinking and putting it aside, and doing what God wants us to do. We have to allow God to reshape us and the way we think, put that aside and allow God to have His way there. Allow God to tell us what He wants. Romans 8, verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." There again is the old man, the old flesh, the old life, and the new life. It's a complete difference there. If we live after the flesh, we mind the things of the flesh. That's the old life. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Again, we take God's word. We take God's word and allow Him to speak to us, to show us His will. His Spirit will be there for us, that comforter. What we sang about this morning, the Comforter has come. He will come and help us through our life here on earth. John 15, verse 5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." He is the vine and we are the branches. And if we abide in him, we will bring much fruit. But without him, if we are broken off of that vine, we cannot bring any fruit. It's like just like a tree or something. If you cut the branch off and pitch it aside, it will die. It will not grow there just by itself. It's the same way if we cut ourselves off from Jesus, if we cut ourselves off from that, then we will die. We will not grow without being connected to the vine. Staying connected to Jesus is essential for spiritual growth. If you are not connected to Jesus, then you are not growing spiritually. Apart from Him, our efforts are unfruitful. We can put a lot of efforts into trying to do the right thing. We can do this and we can do that. Some things that are good are not bad in itself, but if we're just putting our own efforts into that, then we're not getting anywhere. They're unfruitful. We're unfruitful in that without Christ. In James 1, verse 22, we already read that verse, but it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Doers of the word. We can hear the word, and it don't do much good unless we are doers of it. Spiritual maturity is proven through action, living out what we learn from Scripture. It is important to know what God's Word says, but it is much, much more important to obey it. It doesn't do much good to know what God's Word says if we don't obey it and follow after it, do what it says. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 3 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." And it goes on, but those are some of the things that we need. Growing spiritually means seeing more of these qualities develop in our lives through the Holy Spirit. If we want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us, we must join our lives to His. We must know Him, love Him, remember Him, imitate Him, and allow Christ to work in our life. We must know Him. To imitate Him, we must know Him. We must know who He is and know what He does. And the best way to find that out is to go into God's Word, read it, and apply it to your life. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So He's given us a promise there. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, if we hunger and thirst after what is right, that gives us a desire to open the Bible, open God's Word, and read from it. A heart that desires spiritual growth is blessed. God promised to satisfy that hunger. Again, they're just like when a baby is hungry, the mother will feed it. She'll be glad to give it whatever it needs and to get it satisfied there. And it's the same way for us towards God. If we are hungry, He will feed us. He will give us what we need to satisfy our hunger. He will take care of us, whatever that need might be. He promises us that, and we trust, we trust in Him. If we put our trust in Him, He will provide for us. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The life of the righteous should grow brighter with each step, reflecting continuous growth. Spiritual growth is a process of transformation into Christ's image, step by step. Each step we take. There's that song, I think, it says, "Each step I take will draw me closer to Christ," or something like that. And we can say that, each step we take will draw me closer to Christ, but it still will not, if you're looking for the day of His coming, it will still not bring you up to that day until Christ comes. But it can draw us closer to Christ in another way, but not as far as if we are waiting for His coming and the time draws. Yeah, the time draws closer and closer, I believe. But you will never get to the place where you can say that, okay, you're done growing now. You're outgrown, and there you are just waiting till He takes you. I don't think that time will come until either Christ takes you home or He will return and return. Titus 2, verse 11. I'm just going to turn to that. Titus 2. A couple verses there I want to read. It's Titus 2, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. As for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So Christ there, we can see he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. He might redeem us from all our sins and cleanse us so that we can have that white raiment that we sang about this morning. Be cleansed from our sins, and he can purify us. And he wants us to be a pure and holy people that can shine that light out into the world, a world that is needy, a world that needs him. That's what he wants us to do. Spiritual growth means learning to live in ways that please God and reflect his truth. Growth requires perseverance. We keep pressing forward towards God's calling. Those who seek God grow stronger, not weaker. If we seek God, the more we seek him, the stronger we get. We don't get weaker, but we get stronger. Psalms 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Spiritual growth involves knowing and applying God's word to resist sin. So if we have God's word in our heart, that will help us a lot when temptations and trials and things come. If we have it hid in our heart, so that we can apply it, it says that I might not sin against thee. We know God's word, we know what it says, and when those temptations come, we know to say no to him. And God will give us that strength and strength to do that if we love God. If we remember to love God, then I believe we will follow after the things of God. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I just thought I'd bring this up in closing here. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Keep growing. Even when it is hard, the harvest of faith comes with pressing forward. He's telling us not to get weary in well-doing. If we continue on in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow after righteousness, spiritual growth is not about being perfect. It is about being faithful. Each day offers new chances to grow closer to God, to understand his word better, and to become more like Christ. Let these words, these Bible verses that we read, to encourage you and challenge you and help you reflect on where you are and where God is leading you next. So I hope it was an encouragement to be here, and hope we can get some good out of the message. And let's allow God to work in our life to help us grow spiritually. And may the good Lord bless you all. Thank you for your attention.